Blog Talk Radio.
Da 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 da. I was meant to fly. Oh, 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 oh. I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
Oh.
Living off what people say and giving all the power to the things that were only gonna bring me to my knees. I saw people turn their backs and leave me. And on that very day, I started believing that in the mirror was the only friend that I would ever need.
About the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think, visit www.hyhradio.com. The University of Colorado at Boulder student wellness website listed these statistics. 2 out of 5 women and 1 out of 5 men would trade 3 to 5 years of their life to achieve their weight goals. In 1970, the average girl started dieting at the age of 14. By 1990, the average dieting age fell to 8. After viewing images, they did a study and they had women view images of fashion models. And after viewing these images, 1 out of 10 women felt more depressed and angry prior to viewing the images. Young girls are more afraid of being overweight than they are nuclear war, cancer, or losing their parents. The diet industry, diet foods, diet programs and drugs, etc., takes in $40 billion each year and continues to grow. 30% of women choose a body image that is 20% underweight. An additional 44% choose a body image, an ideal body shape that is 10% underweight. My guest today, Ophira Edut. Ophira is an editor, a writer, designer, astrologist, and entrepreneur who has spent a decade creating groundbreaking media projects focused on teens, women, and multicultural issues. She's the editor of the book entitled Body Outlaws. In 1992, Ophira co-founded Hughes, a national multicultural women's magazine. She has since been featured in numerous anthologies and magazines. If her name sounds familiar, maybe you're one out of 35 million who reads her and her twin sister, Tali, I hope I pronounced her name right, horoscopes. They're known as the Astro Twins, and they have appeared on VH1's TRL. Their horoscopes are listed in Teen People magazine, AOL Red, Hello Kitty, and Oprah.com, just to name a few. They are just that is just a glimpse of their accomplishments. Ophira also lectures at colleges and conferences nationwide about body image and the media. Today's topic is body image with my guest today, Ophira Edut.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for taking time out to join us today.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
This is a serious issue. And I think that in some aspects it's being taken pretty lightly. Young girls are starting to diet, as I mentioned in the statistics during the introduction, at the age of 8.
I know. Even younger in some cases.
Wow. In your opinion, how did we get to this point?
I think, you know, there's a lot of different ways. I mean, the economy really depends on consumerism, and I mean, that's one, you know, you could take it from so many different angles. You could look at the media, you could look at family, society, but I mean, we'll start with the economy. You know, it depends on people buying things, and in order to get people to buy certain products, you have to make them feel like they need it and they can't live without it. And I think it's a very easy target in today's world with the growing population and that kind of thing to get people to feel like they need to look a certain way to make it in the world. And you know, that's validated by people's experiences. So you put it all together and, you know, it's passed on to the generations. And there you go.
Yeah. You do a lot to reach out to others and see to see and accept themselves as beautiful, regardless of their shape or size.
Yeah.
What moved you to start doing this?
Well, you know, I grew up in Detroit, and I grew up in a very multicultural neighborhood, but I was one of a few Jewish people in my school, and I was one of the only Israeli kids. And it's kind of interesting being a Jewish woman because you sort of have a lens in both the ethnic world and the white world in some ways, because you're sort of, you know, looks like a pump, feels like a sneaker kind of thing. So, you know, I would read these teen magazines and I'd see girls in them who might have like maybe the same hair color or whatever skin color as me, but would be very, very impossibly thin for what my personal DNA would ever be able to achieve. So,
right.
So I mean, it was just, I remember like being like in sixth grade and sitting in the school library, and they had, you know, I was a bookworm, but I noticed a rack of magazines with like Teen and YM and 17 and all the teen magazines, and I didn't have, you know, the media literacy and the consciousness to look at the images and go, oh, well, you know, those girls, you know, probably have like, you know, what 2% of the population has in terms of DNA and everything, and you know, nice clothes, but I'll never look like that, but that's okay. You know,
right.
As a teenager, you just automatically go, oh, crap, that's
I don't
what
fit
beauty
that.
Is,
yeah.
And I don't look like that. Yeah. So it will have a pattern, and, you know, visual imagery. I mean, I'm a designer, too, and visual imagery is just a strong, immediate impact on our brains. And, you know, you see that the average person, and this is an older statistic, so it's probably much more, but the average person
yeah.
sees 400 to 600 ads a day. So repeating that so many times, we're very conditioned. And
mm-hmm.
it happens so young. And, you know, girls are, you know, the next, everybody's favorite market. So they're getting all those sort of mixed messages and vaguely sexualized, you know, toys and costumes. And again, I'm not like somebody who has a problem with sex or sexuality or anything at all, but when it's delivered to a child who doesn't have the capacity to process that kind of imagery and those messages, like, that just starts off a whole cycle.
Yeah, and I think, too, it goes beyond weight.
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen, well, I'm one at that one of those statistics that battle with body image growing up. I think the older I get, the less I care. But I think that is not just, even when I was at my smallest, it went beyond weight. It was, I didn't have the perfect hourglass figure.
Right.
Or certain hair, or, you know, it's a really huge issue, and I think a lot of young girls think that they're the only one feeling that way.
Oh,
not
absolutely.
Young girls, but women,
there's
too.
There's no dialogue. I mean, there is. There might be like a token article about body image in the magazines, but then it's surrounded by, you know, get flat stomach in a week or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, still to this day, it's still this. And I sometimes kind of think the mixed message is worse than, you know, and if you throw in ethnicity or whatever, then,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're getting, not only is it like thin better or not, or just like a certain body type, whatever, add a few curves, whatever, you know, your community thinks is the ideal body. There's still some kind of an ideal way of presenting yourself and acting and being that,
mm-hmm.
that women are supposed to fill that box. And it's just, we're supposed to be these one-dimensional cardboard characters. And, you know, we get that message, you know, one way or another.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to
yeah.
fight back. I mean, yes, when you get older you can, but sometimes it just can come down to, like, just being resigned. Like, oh, well, I'll never be that, so.
Yeah. Yeah. You also tour annually and talk to high school students and college students about body image.
Mm-hmm.
How has this experience been for you?
It's been interesting. I mean, I've done it for about, gosh, more than 10 years. And for a long time, I had a lot of students who were really fired up about the issue and very willing to talk about it. And they were in their women's studies classes or, you know, in high school, they're always very outspoken. But interestingly, the last couple times I've gone out, I had almost all sorority members coming to my lectures. And it threw me off because they weren't as vocal or, you know, and then I started to really realize, like, okay, this is like almost like The Sopranos, where you can't really talk about the problems outside the family, but they're there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just like, are they not liking what I'm saying here the
yeah.
first time? Are they not getting it? But then I found out, oh, there's a real, like, cultural code of shame and silence and agreement. So it's like you got to bust that up even more. So
yeah.
It's
yeah,
very
they don't
deep.
Want their peers to know.
Yeah, I asked one of
yeah.
the girls, and she said, yeah, it's like you, there's a competitive thing between the sororities, so if you admit that there's a problem in yours, it's like you're no longer at the top of the food chain or whatever. So I was like, man, that's pretty deep.
Yeah.
In terms of the problem. But I don't just want to talk about the problems, you know, because what I'm trying to do with my website and book and everything is create an alternate way of experiencing your body and actually present the visual images of women of all cultures and sizes feeling at home in their bodies and the stories that don't get told so
right.
that you have examples and recipes for how to love your own body.
So where do we begin? Where do we start to, because like we mentioned earlier, there's a lot of nonverbal young girls and women are being told nonverbally what beauty is. How do we begin to refocus our self-image?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first thing to do is you got to pull yourself out of the soup, out of the fishbowl. You know, if you're in the water, you can't, you know, save anybody else from drowning, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to actually, and it can take a while, like get to the point where you can actually sort of, you know, be a little bit of a distance from yourself and notice yourself reacting, because I think we become so automatically triggered by images and everything. So the first thing that everybody has to do is develop a certain level of consciousness where you're like aware that you're becoming depressed when you see a magazine image, and you can almost like push the pause button and go like, oh wow, look at that, I just saw Heidi Klum and I just felt like crap about my ass or whatever.
Right.
and you kind of start to notice that, and then you also have to look in your environment as well, like what are the conversations you're having with your friends and family and the people around you. What are the things that are an unspoken agreement between you that need to be changed? What images? You have pictures on the refrigerator of someone you want to look like that as a quote-unquote inspiration, you know, or, I mean, people do that stuff. Or
yeah.
You know, or
they'll take their head off their body. I've seen people do that, but they'll clip out
my God.
Of magazines and clip their head on the image of the body, and which kind of is a red flag.
Yeah.
But I think that when you're going through it, you don't realize what you're doing.
Yeah.
I really don't think you realize that you are in some form mentally abusing yourself.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Or mentally beating yourself up, like I'm not good enough, or you're looking in the mirror and you're constantly focusing on your flaws.
Yeah, or you're thinking who I am isn't enough, such that I need to become another person. I mean, listen, it's all the context that you're doing this in. I mean, there are people that, you know, have a healthy body image, and you know, it's like, okay, if I lost 5 pounds, I might look like Beyonce or something. Okay, that's all right. You know, maybe you want to be a little more toned or something like that. Like, it's in the realm of reality. It doesn't necessarily, you know, it's a kind of a case-by-case basis in a lot of ways. But overall, like, if you can't say, like, but, okay, I don't look like Beyonce. I'd love to look like Beyonce. But, hey, how I look right now, I'm going to do what it takes to love that as well. And that,
right.
You know, if you're willing, you know, and you use the word battle, and I wish it wasn't an accurate description, but it actually can be. Like, you're either a lot of times in a battle against your body or a battle to embrace it the way it is, against all the messages. It is not easy to do that because you're going to get a lot of, you know, you don't get a lot of support, so you have to create that. You have to surround yourself with images of women of all sizes or colors or hair textures or facial feature shapes or whatever it is that, you know, that you are struggling to accept about yourself. That's one way to start.
Yeah. Our children spend a lot of time like that, like I said earlier in the introduction, that, and you said too, that even younger than 8,
yeah,
they're starting to diet and be consumed with the size. And I think that, in my personal opinion, I believe that a lot of the self-confidence starts at home.
Oh, definitely.
What can parents do or not do to help rebuild their child's self-esteem?
Well, they have to look at what they have to look at being responsible at what, you know, comes out of their mouths and their actions. And, you know, you also can't say to your daughter, like, you know, like, you know, I have a friend who diets or, you know, whatever, and I have an 8.5-year-old stepdaughter, and she said, oh, I lost 2 pounds this week. I'm like, just please don't say that around her. I just don't want to bring that into her world. So
right.
If you're an adult and you choose to diet, I mean, and you know, hey, for some people that's actually a healthy thing to do,
mm-hmm.
Not dieting, but, you know, being conscious and aware of your eating habits. I mean, you have to set the
for
example.
Health reasons, yeah.
Yeah, you have to set the example, and you have to be, you know, be your word and be what you say and follow through on your actions and be conscious of giving a kid mixed messages. You know, my mom was always talking about, oh, I'm trying to get down to, her lifelong quest was to get down to the weight she was when she met my father at the age of 4 or whatever. I'm just kidding, but, you know, something ridiculous. And I was like, it was always there in my mind. Like, my mother, I had that imprint. My mother struggles to get down to this weight she was for this magical year that she fell in love with my dad. Oh,
yeah.
Weight's a struggle. Being you can never really be happy with your weight. There's always something you have to strive for. So, yeah, just you know, just be careful, you know, what you say.
Yeah. And to kind of reinforce that they're okay with who they are.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, that whatever size they are. I mean, I would push the envelope more for being healthy than thin. And I think that it is a good thing to, like, I'm diabetic and I have to get my weight down. You know?
Yeah.
So it's no longer trying to get the weight down to fit in. And I think parents should really, too, in addition to what you said, enforce that your child is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Is to remind them that, you know, to that they're okay with who they are, you know.
Yeah. And learn the skills yourself. Like, a lot of parents don't know what healthy eating is. And I know that, you know, sometimes it can be an access thing. Sometimes, access to healthy food is not, you know, the same for everybody in this country. But there are ways, you know, there's like, I started working with the community gardens in New York City. And, you know, there are ways you can actually learn about it and even grow your own food in the city.
Yeah.
You know, you never know if you have to be creative or whatever. So,
yeah, and healthy food is more expensive.
Yeah. I know.
That
I mean,
so,
you know, the McDonald's value meal is definitely cheaper than a head of lettuce at Whole Foods or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, and that's, you know, that's an opportunity for some activism there, you know, just like,
yeah,
really, I think that's actually one of the key issues right now, just access to not only health care, but, you know, when we think of access to health care, we think of, oh, build a hospital and, you know, a low-income area. But it's like, what about prevention? What about
right the
education of how to eat healthily and exercise, you know, and just, you know, but there are, you know, yeah. So for sure, there's definitely a need for that. And parents should learn about that and teach their kids. And also with regard to media, if you're going to let your kids watch certain things, I think then be prepared to discuss it with them so that
right.
they're not just taking it in and sitting with it. So you can, you know, if you're going to be somebody who lets your kids see anything and exposes them to whatever, that's your choice, but help them to become media literate.
Right.
Those are some
right.
ideas.
In 1999, you and your twin sister, have a magazine called Hughes.
Yes.
And also a website called AdiosBarbie.com.
Mm-hmm.
What inspires you to continue to reach out to girls on this topic?
I think especially, you know, the magazine isn't around anymore, but the website, I get messages from 11-year-old or 12-year-olds. Fortunately, because I built the website in 1999, it's so well linked on the web that if you type body image into Google, it comes up like one of the top 10 sites. So,
mm-hmm.
a lot, which I'm so happy about, because a lot of girls find it. I've gotten letters from all over the world from people saying, like, how refreshing it is, how there's nothing else like it. So it's just one of those things that is just, you know, like, I don't care if I ever make a dime off of it. I just love to be able to just have that. I love the freedom of the internet to say the things that people don't get to hear on TV a lot of the time.
Right.
And just that knowing that it is actually reaching people and making a difference. So,
and that's, I want to mention it again, is AdiosBarbie. And what can they expect from, this is targeted to young girls or?
Well, it's targeted to everyone. I mean,
okay.
honestly, I have people from ages 10 to 70 have written me. It's a thinking person's, you know, I mean, it's just, it's fun, it's colorful, it's got a game called Feed the Model, which pisses some people off and entertains others, but that's okay. And it also has articles, like, you know, thoughtful articles about, you know, black women and hair, about the plus size fashion industry, about mm-hmm. women of color, the myth that they don't get eating disorders. It's got resources and links, and, you know, we're actually redesigning it. I can't say exactly when it's going to relaunch because we're just finishing all the technical stuff, but hopefully in the next couple months, but there's plenty on there now.
Okay. What other projects or events have you done on this topic of body image?
Let me think about that. I mean, mostly I do the speaking and the book. The book was called Adios Barbie, but the makers of Barbie, Mattel, weren't too happy about that, so we had to change the name to Body Outlaws. And that's a collection of essays by about 30 women and 2 men about the topic of body image and how it intersects with identity, everything from culture to sexuality to, you know, somebody in there, what a sex change operation, and, you know, and what that was like for their body. I mean, whatever approach or angle you come up with. So,
it's
make you think about it from a wide-angle lens.
And so you have the Adios Barbie, you have the book Outlaws, you also tour to different high schools and colleges nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And also I wanted to mention before we go that you have another book you're working on.
Oh, yeah.
That you just released.
Yeah, well, it's coming out, actually, at the end of the year, yeah. In my other life, I don't know why I was born with the ability to do astrology, so, but it's great, because when people find out about me through the horoscopes, then they'll find out about the body image stuff, too, so.
Right.
I have a book, a guide for women to the men of every zodiac sign, and what makes them tick, so, and just, you know, how to, you know, not be desperate and find someone who's actually a good match for you if you like men. So,
yeah. So, do you have a website that lists all where someone can go if they're interested in the astrology or?
Yeah. You can go to astrostyle.com for that.
Okay.
And adiosbarbie.com. Or loveyourbody.org. It also will link out to all the different body image projects. So,
okay.
Yeah, I know. Too many websites, but I guess you can never have too many.
And you have a website that lists everything, right?
Oh, Ophira.com, yeah. My
okay.
Launch, yeah, landing pad or whatever.
Okay. Well, I thank you so much for taking time out to join us today and discuss this topic, a very much needed topic to discuss today. And I thank you for all you're doing to empower others. I wish you much continued success on in both the body image realm, so to speak, and also the and reaching those with the horoscopes, too. And I commend you for all the accomplishments that you and your twin sister has done. And is Tali?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
You have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. I wanted to thank the listeners for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think about today's show and previous shows, visit us at www.hyhradio.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always be true to yourself. I love you. God loves you. Thank you.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you, I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no. I was meant to fly over hills and mountains, over lakes and valleys. I was meant to fly.